Today on Colchonero Chat, it's Champions League review day, but not just for Atletico Madrid's thrilling win over Rostov. Also for Sevilla's victory over Dinamo Zagreb. We have Chris Lale from Montcheese Men on the program to go through both games and preview two juicy fixtures back in La Liga this weekend after this. Welcome to Colchonero Chat, the podcast of record of IntoTheCalderon.com and a proud member of the SB Nation family of blogs. Jeremy Barron here. My guest on this edition of the program is Chris Lale from Montcheese Men. Chris, how are you, man?
Doing great. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. My pleasure. And we have much to discuss from Tuesday and Wednesday. As mentioned at the outset, we'll also be discussing Sevilla's win over Dinamo Zagreb on Wednesday, but we'll start on Tuesday, Atletico Madrid hosting Rostov in what was a much more difficult game than many anticipated. Antoine Griezmann at the double, helping Atletico notch a 2-1 win and securing progression to the last 16, but it was not as easy as expected. A very open Atletico in this game, and Rostov had a couple chances early on, forcing Jan Oblak into some saves, which made Atletico fans a bit nervous, as Atletico have been a little iffy at the back since the last international break. But Griezmann put them ahead with arguably the goal of the week, and arguably his best goal in an Atletico shirt. This was just an incredible goal. A ball from Carrasco, Yannick Carrasco over the top, deflected to Griezmann, who hits a spinning volley into the net. And Chris, not really something he did in the game against Sevilla a couple weeks back. Your boys did a pretty nice job on him, but something he's obviously very capable of doing to a lot of teams.
Yeah, we were able to maintain control of Griezmann this time. Surprisingly, the guy's such a good player. I just watched the goal again on replay here, and what an unbelievable goal it was this Tuesday. Just to have the awareness that where the goal was. I mean, he was totally back to the goal and found a way to put it in. Just a brilliant goal.
It was magnificent, but it wouldn't stand up for long, as Rostov just 2 minutes later hit back with a goal of their own to equalize. It was a counterattack. Atleti very disorganized at the back. Diego Godin, Felipe Luis not really anywhere to be found on the counter. And Rostov scored pretty easily. It was Asmund who got the goal, I believe, on half an hour. And 1-1, just the fifth goal Simeone's Atletico have conceded in the Champions League at home. Five goals in 19 home games in the Champions League. That's an incredible ratio. But 1-1, and it would stay that way for a while, as Atleti would throw shot after shot, mostly from long range, at the goal, but nothing really found a way through. A lot of blocks, a lot of shots right at Zanaev. Only 8 of Atletico's 31 shots for the game were on target, and everyone has games like this. Chris, Sevilla had one this past weekend against Sporting Gijon. Things happen.
Yeah, I didn't get to see the game. It was bright and early, 7 a.m. here on the East Coast in the U.S., and I was snoozing away, but 4 minutes in, you know, Vieto got the goal, and we couldn't hold it. We conceded in, like, the 20th minute, and had to take a draw away from home there in Gijon. So a little disappointing after such a great victory against Madrid, and a little letdown there from the guys.
And it looked like on Tuesday this was going to be a letdown, another letdown for Atleti, following up that loss in Sevilla the previous weekend. But it was not to be. Antoine Griezmann, the hero again, scoring a controversial winner deep into injury time. And he was in an offside position here before he poked the ball over into the net. He didn't know it was a goal either, but the referees actually made the right call. They had a tough game, but they made the right call on this one. The ball from Koke was deflected off a Rostov defender's head, fell right to Griezmann, who poked it in, and no one knew this was a goal until Griezmann was walking away from the net like it'd been ruled offside. But then he starts running to Simeone and the substitutes and the coaches like, "Oh, it's a goal! It's been ruled a goal." That was so funny to me. He just started taking off.
I think head might be a little much. I think it was a hair of the guy. It was really close to being offside.
It was extremely close. And he was in the offside position. So Rostov were justifiably upset, also upset that they traveled that far and were seconds from securing a famous result, and it was brutally snatched away from them. To their credit, though, they fought throughout the game, and in the second half, they really stopped going for goal. They were playing a five-man back line. Everyone was behind the ball. And in the final seconds, they still were able to win a free kick. It didn't come to anything, but they were, again, in a dangerous position to get a 2-2 instead of a 2-1 loss, which they received just seconds later. So all credit to them, but it was for naught. They got 0 points out of this one. Atletico, the only side in the Champions League with a 100% record, 4 wins from 4, just 1 goal conceded in those 4 games. They have secured a spot in the last 16, along with Sevilla, who we will get to in a second. A couple talking points from this game. Griezmann received some criticism over the past few weeks for not scoring many goals, actually any goals. His last goal prior to Tuesday came at Mestalla against Valencia in a 2-0 win before the last international break. But he's such a great player. There's a reason why he's regarded as a world-class player. It's because he can do things other than scoring that don't necessarily show up on, you know, in the table of scoring leaders. His passing, his vision, his work rate, his effort for the team, he does everything, even when he doesn't score. Simeone talks about it a lot, how Griezmann does so many little things that help Atletico win.
Yeah, Jeremy, he's such a good player. He's always working. He tracks back when he needs to. He'll get you a pass break up and start something on the break. His runs are phenomenal. Just an overall great player. And I was really, really shocked that we were able to keep him in check a weekend ago when we played Atletico.
Yeah, and it was a very strange game for Atleti, who had to make the trip from Russia back to Spain, the same trip Rostov made, and had to go to a similarly inhospitable ground. Sanchez Pizjuan is almost impossible for teams other than Sevilla to win at, as Dinamo Zagreb found out on Wednesday. A couple more things from Tuesday. Juan Fran is obviously entrenched as Atletico's top choice right back. He's one of the best on the continent, deservedly so. But on Tuesday, Shime Versalco came into the team at right back. Just his second appearance in red and white. His first one was the 5-0 win against Sporting Gijón on September 17. And I thought he played great. I was hoping Simeone would give him more of a look in the team, and he got his look on Tuesday. Played excellent. Great crossing in particular. Reliable passing. Needs some work in defense, but overall a superb performance, and was very dangerous throughout. Chris, as a Sevilla fan, you're used to turnover like every year. You're used to a different squad coming in every year, and in the Champions League, depth is very important. And different players have come into Sampaoli's team throughout the season in La Liga and in the Champions League. Do you find yourself sometimes hoping that certain players get that chance?
Oh, of course. We have a few players now that we, it seems like we're not rotating our guys very much right now. Most of the same guys started this past Wednesday that started on Sunday. A lot of the new guys that we got in the offseason haven't gotten a ton of play other than, the comeback player of the year, possibly, of Nazari and Mudo Vasquez. You know, those two guys, and of course, Vieto and Ben Yedder, mainly because we have nobody else. But you guys stole Camiero from us, so.
Yeah. Atletico paid you for him.
I know.
And
Vieto
came back, and that leads you guys in scoring.
That's true. That's true.
Everything works out.
Go ahead.
It all works out.
True. So yeah, a lot of our guys, we would like to see some more of them, but some of the guys are getting some run just because of injuries, and our main one of our best players this season has been Escudero on the left fullback side.
Yeah, he's been great.
From Tremolinas, and he's played really, really well for us. Arguably our best player of the year so far. So it is very important to get some of these newer guys. And I was going to ask, do you guys look at this guy as the future for replacing Juan Fran?
I think he is. I think that was the main impetus in signing him. Not only was he an upgrade on Jesus Gomez, who's now at Newcastle, but Vrsaljko is going to be looked at as the future. One of the best right backs in Serie A. He can play it on the right or the left hand side, and he's still pretty young. He's 25 years old, coming over from Sassuolo this past summer, and he, I think, is being set up to be the long-term replacement for Juan Fran, who's getting up there in years. He's still excellent, of course, but he's not really under consideration for the Spanish national team anymore. Really, not really through much fault of his own. But he is getting a little older, and he's played a lot of minutes, especially last season. He played a lot of minutes. So it's important that Vrsaljko gets these opportunities to prove himself as the guy who's going to take over for Juan Fran in a couple of years. If he's willing to make 15, 20, 25 appearances a year for the next 2-3 years, it'll be worth it, because that right back spot will be his if he's good enough, and I think he is.
Gotcha.
Last thing from this one. Despite the win, Bayern Munich are still breathing down Atletico's neck. Robert Lewandowski netting a double in the Netherlands to see PSV through to the last 16 themselves, a 2-1 win over PSV, securing progression for them. Atletico are on 12 points, Bayern Munich on 9. There has been some talk. There was talk before the Rostov game, and there probably will be again before the PSV game on November 23rd, that Simeone would rotate his squad. I don't think that's going to happen against PSV, because Atletico getting a win against PSV at home will go a long way. And if Bayern drop points in Russia on the next match day, the group is Atletico's. The group belongs to them, assuming they beat PSV. And Atleti would enter the final match day up 3 points, 15 points, 3 points clear of Bayern, going to Munich needing only a draw. And Bayern would need to go all out for the win. So I'm now thinking Simeone is going to put another very strong squad out there for PSV's visit in about 3 weeks, just to keep the pressure on and make Bayern win that final that game, the final match day.
And that's interesting. I thought, you know, this win, you're in, there might be some motivation there too, rest some guys, the pressure's kind of off, so that's an interesting take, and probably the right one. If you win that, the pressure against Bayern is definitely less, and then you can take the group.
Yeah, the Bayern would need to win, and it's important to be seeded. Coming first in this group would be a pretty big achievement, because this is the toughest Champions League group Atleti have been in since returning to the Champions League in 2013. So it'd be pretty big to come out of this group as winners for the fourth straight year. I'm also considering that it'll be just the second game after an international break. The first game, of course, is the Madrid derby, and this will be just the second game after. So theoretically, you'll have a lot of guys who are still pretty fresh. So that also kind of factors into my thinking that Diego Simeone will play a pretty strong side against PSV on November 23rd. Right. So, on to Wednesday, where Sevilla hosted Dinamo Zagreb, a 4-0 win for Jorge Sampaoli's side, who are now through to the last 16 of the Champions League for the second time this decade. I'm half serious when I ask this. Are you disappointed that you will not be able to defend the Europa League title again?
Well, it's not over yet. Juventus actually kind of let us down there by drawing against Leon. Sevilla still has to do work. We're not officially through to the next round yet.
It looks pretty certain, but yeah, that's right. You never know.
We know, there's always that lingering doubt. You know, we've got two tough games coming up in the group. We got Juventus at home, and then we have to travel to Lyon. So, depending on what happens in these next, you know, this next round, we're in good shape. Let's put it that way. We are top of the group, and we looked really, 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 really good on Wednesday. Dominated possession, had 31 shots on goal, 31 total shots, 12 on goal, compared to Dynamo's three total shots. You know, 74% possession, just a total dominating performance by the guys after kind of a letdown there with the Gion game. So, we've got another goal from Vieto. Hopefully, we get to keep him in the offseason. You guys don't take him back. he's performing very well for us right now.
Yeah.
After a slightly disappointing start, he's really, really come on here lately.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about Vieto. It was a pretty slow start for him, but he's really come along. And Atletico do have the buyback option, which they may or may not exercise next summer. It's still, I personally think it's too early to say yet, but he's leading Sevilla with 5 goals. He scored 3 all of last season in an Atleti shirt. But 5 goals for Sampaoli's side. And just, could you talk about his general impact on the team, what he brings that wasn't there last season?
Well, you know, we had Kevin last season, so he was, you know, we had a really quality striker last season that could actually do some of the same things that Vieto is starting to do now. And I noticed this really, it was really prevalent yesterday. Some of the runs that he was making were very Gamiero-like, like very finding the hole, finding that run that he should make. You know, it seemed at the very beginning of the season he was kind of standing around, not knowing when to break, breaking too early. He's getting really comfortable with the guys around him, and I think people are starting to understand what Sampaoli's, you know, trying to accomplish here, and Vieto's starting to shine, and that's really good to see, because, you know, losing Gamero in the off season just really deflated us, and we didn't know where the goals were going to come from. So it's good to see that he's able to provide some of that.
To the tune of 5 so far this season, and
sure.
Looks good. He looks pretty good, much different than Atletico last season. Because by the end of that,
too much last season. So
yeah.
So I don't know if he's actually performing over where he was at. But yeah, so far so good.
By the end of that season, he just looked so bereft of confidence and not really involved in any play whatsoever. Didn't have much chemistry with Griezmann or with anyone else. It was uncomfortable because he's obviously a very talented player and still so young. It was disappointing to for the season he had, but no more power to him. He's doing well. He's in form. And obviously helping Sevilla win. Matias Kronovic there also on loan at Sevilla. Haven't seen much of him lately. Is he not Sampaoli's type of player? What do you think is going on with Kronovic there?
Well, again, very very similar to Vieto. He started out very slow. He got a lot of run in the very early part of the season, but just didn't seem to have a great work ethic. Didn't seem to press like Sampaoli likes to press, and just didn't seem to impact the game at all. Just almost seemed lazy at times. He kind of did. I mean, he lost favor with Sampaoli and hasn't played much. He did get to play yesterday. He was in the starting 11, and I am pretty sure he played the whole game, if I'm not mistaken. Played the whole game. It actually looked pretty good. Definitely causing some havoc there in the midfield. I noticed him a lot more yesterday, and that's something we didn't see in the early part of the year. You just didn't. he didn't seem to make an impact on the game. But yesterday you saw him, making some key passes and a good performance. So maybe he'll actually get some more time, and we're going to need that because our best player so far has probably been Nzonzi, and he's played almost every game, every minute, and at some point we're going to have to give that guy some rest, and Krembetter is going to be that guy that needs to do that. So good to see him come out and have some quality minutes yesterday.
Yeah, and it seemed like a performance that was more up to the coach's specifications. Very high energy, pressing game, very disruptive, and that's the kind of player that Krembetter was in Argentina. And where all the scouting reports and the videos I've watched, and even watching him play briefly for Atletico last season, shows that he's that tough, defensive-minded disruptor of play. And that's going to be important because, and as you said, Nzonzi has been brilliant this season. He's been terrific. Yeah. Other than Nasri, to be his best player.
Top 11 in La Liga right now, Nzonzi. I mean, if the awards came out today, I mean, he would definitely be in that top 11.
Yep. Scored again yesterday.
Nzonzi, he got on the board in the 80th minute yesterday as well with a header. Headed goal off of a corner, if I remember correctly. And he actually had a shot at an earlier goal in the first half that their keeper just made a really good save just to tip it over the bar. So Nzonzi's actually starting to score a little bit here as well as providing just brilliant midfield play.
Definitely another dimension to his game. And he was kind of in and out of form last season under Unai Emery. But Sampaoli has really brought the best out of him. I wanted to ask you about Sampaoli. What other than just the tactics, he's a tactical chameleon out there. And what other differences have you spotted between him and Unai Emery? And how much of this improvement in Sevilla's form can be traced to Sampaoli, do you think?
Well, that's a good question. And I don't know if I can brilliantly state the answer here, but the obvious difference is attack, and that seems to be his style, and the players have kind of I saw it. I actually got to see Sevilla in Orlando this past June. I made a trip down to Orlando and got to see those guys, and you could just see the difference in as soon as they lost the ball, they were just surrounding whoever, had the ball and trying to win it back. And you didn't see that from Emery's side all the time. You didn't see the effort. Emery was very much a counter-attacking style coach, and Sampaoli wants to keep possession, get it back at all times, and make the back line make a mistake on a pass out of the back. And you see that without a doubt this year, and how many times we've won back possession. And I think that's the biggest difference. Similar styles of being on the sideline, coaching, very much like Diego up there. They're always on the sideline trying to provide that coaching from the right line there. And very intense guy.
Extremely intense.
The one thing I admit, I actually met him in Orlando, and just very intense. You got you see the tattoos and
yeah,
just the cool glasses that he's wearing. I mean, very very intense, intimidating presence, just like Simeone and Atletico.
More style points than Emery ever had.
Hey, Emery rocked the patches on the sports jacket.
That is true. That is true, but it's to me it's been a marked improvement in Sevilla's intensity. And last season they seemed to take a lot of moments and games off, and partially why they didn't win away last season.
Exactly, and that's what I was about to say. Hey, we won away, so automatically it's an improvement on the season, right?
Yeah. Exactly. And you guys have been scoring a lot of late goals this season, and why do you think that is? That so many late goals to decide games, is it sustainable? What do you think's been behind that?
But I think it goes back to that pressing style and never giving up. And, you know, the Sevilla team seems to always play with more heart and desire than what they really should be able to play with. You know, I mean, I'm not saying that exactly right, but what I'm getting at is it's a never give up mentality with this team, and that kind of comes through. And I think at the end of the game, when players are tired and they just want to get the game over and maybe looking for a draw, you know, the guys will figure out a way to keep fighting and make the other team make a mistake, and we get lucky sometimes too. And so, is it sustainable? I'm not sure. I think so. I think if we can continue that pressing and get some help from guys like Cranvetter and Gonzo and some of the guys we picked up in the off season to provide some depth and rotation to keep our guys fresh at the end of the game, especially on some key substitutions. You know, I think it is sustainable, and we're sitting at the top of the group with some really, really good teams in Juventus and Lyon. So let's see what happens. It's been fun season so far.
I'd say so. And a lot of new players coming in over the summer in defense, in midfield, in attack. But one guy who stayed was Vitolo. And Atleti tried for him at the end of the window. Diego Simeone reportedly spoke to him directly and pleaded for him to come to Madrid. Vitolo said no, renewed his contract. Pretty good thing that Vitolo stayed, right?
He's been a critical piece of this team, and yeah, he was last year. He's really starting to shine, and you know, he's getting recognition with the Spanish national team, and started a couple games with those guys, and yeah, just a brilliant player. His dribbling skills just have seemed to improve every year since he's been there. Just getting out of trouble, he seems really smart on the ball and figuring out a way to get around traffic without making a pass. And that's something that we got with Benega a little bit last year, and we were really worried about who was going to fill those Benega shoes. And you know, Vitolo's taking up some of that slack. With Nasri coming in, he's taking up the slack, and Mudo Vasquez the same thing. So we're getting a lot of contribution to kind of take that, figure out a way to get out of traffic that Benega was so good at. So, and then key passes. With that said, Vitolo's starting to get a little reputation, I think, as a diver in the league.
A little bit.
And should have had a penalty in the Gijon game, and it wasn't called. So hopefully that doesn't come back to haunt us in a critical match, and we can count on Vitolo for years to come. Just a really good player.
Yeah, I think he would have made a pretty nice addition to Atleti's team, but of course didn't. Sorry about that. My dogs are getting kind of excited.
Nice.
Yeah. So he would have made an exciting addition, but you know, all's well that ends well, I guess.
Yeah, I was confused about that too, and you know, where would he fit in the system, and didn't seem like there was a place for him in your system, and maybe that's why he turned you down.
Yeah, not sure how much he would have played, honestly.
Exactly. I don't know who he would have been fighting minutes for or taking minutes away from. I don't know where he would have fit.
Last thing I wanted to ask you about was Samir Nasri and just how bloody good he's been. In the game against Atletico, this guy was all over the place. I can't remember the last time he played that well at Manchester City, and creating so many passes from central midfield, from the wings, hitting the bar. He was just all over the place, creating for his teammates in this advanced playmaker role. Did you see this coming at all?
No. We did a poll on Monty's Men at the very beginning of the season, you know, basically season predictions. And one of the predictions was who's going to be the most disappointing player.
It was Nasri.
Everybody thought it was going to be Nasri. And, you know, he's proving us wrong. He's proven Manchester City wrong, proven the French national team wrong. I mean, the guy's got a chip on his shoulder. He's loving living in Sevilla. You know, the rumors this week are that he's asked Manchester City to make the move permanent and make, you know, a permanent switch to Sevilla. He put his house up for sale in Manchester or wherever it is in England there. Mm-hmm. Some big pad that he had with a nightclub and everything in the basement. So it seems like he's loving Sevilla, and the play's been phenomenal. An unbelievable ability to find the right guy. Is a ton of passes and a lot of successful passes. So, and he's scoring some goals. I think he's second on the team, if I'm not mistaken, in goals scored right now. So what a turnaround for that guy.
Yeah, just doing everything. So many touches, so many critical passes and critical plays he's participating in. Well, all right, that's great. So after this, we will talk about the weekend's games, including Real Sociedad hosting Atletico Madrid and Sevilla and Barcelona. We're back. Let's start with Atleti's trip to Anoeta. Potentially tricky game. Sociedad, a very different team at home than they are away. Antoine Griezmann could continue his goal-scoring exploits as I believe he scored in three of the four games he's played against Sociedad since he joined Atleti. The first one he did not score in a 2-1 loss, but he scored in every one since. So Griezmann's goal-scoring exploits, I would expect them to continue. That said, this is a Sociedad team with a lot of talent, and that talent doesn't always lead to great performances. And this is a team that has enough talent to be consistently in the Europa League conversation. This year, they're doing pretty well. Finally, notched an away win against Leganés last Friday. But it could be a tricky game. Anoeta is a difficult place to go. Atleti lost there in 2014, but they're in very good form right now, and a win would, depending on other results, the Sevilla-Barcelona result is obviously going to be a big one, but depending on the result, it could see Atleti go back into the top three.
Yeah, Sociedad's an interesting team. You know, they had a disappointing season last year, but sit there in the sixth position this year, and I get to see a little bit of their game on whatever day that was, Sunday, I guess it was, where they won 2-0 away. And a very organized team. Seemed like the defense were really solid, and they've got a couple young guys there with William Jose up top, and I think it's Carlos Vela there too. That's just interesting team. It's going to be an interesting match for Atleti.
Yeah, they have an interesting collection of talent. Yara Mendy has been excellent since he went back from Real Madrid. William Jose is having a very nice season, scored a bunch of goals at home. Vela looks good. Geronimo Rulli is a good goalkeeper. Could be quite the battle. In the way of a scoreline prediction, I think Atleti will edge it. I'm going with 2-1 there. But that game is not going to be as interesting, I think, as your game with Barcelona. Let's talk about that one. Barcelona lost to Manchester City in midweek 3-1. Not their best performance, of course. They are kind of patched together at the moment. What do you think is going to happen?
I think it's going to be hopefully similar to their game against Manchester City. I mean, I got to see the second half of that game, and Man City just applied a ton of pressure and caused the back line of Barcelona to look just miserable, making terrible passes and giveaways. And I think we're going to see a lot of the same from our guys in Sevilla. I know the RSP is going to be rocking, and they're unveiling some new stadium improvements on Sunday.
Oh.
Putting a new mural for Antonio Puerta up on the outside of the stadium that should be ready for the game. I'm excited about it. A lot of my friends here in the U.S. are Barcelona fans, unfortunately, and we always get together and watch it together. And I usually make the mistake of betting the wrong side, but yep. I think I'm going to come out ahead this time.
Yeah, but being the only Sevilla fan there must be tough sometimes.
Yeah, there's not a lot of us here. We've got two here in the Washington, D.C. area. Actually three. I met a guy in Orlando, actually, that lives in D.C., and he's a transplant from Sevilla. And so we have three here in the Washington, D.C. area, and we definitely try to get together when we can. At least two of us are getting together for Sunday, and we'll be rooting them on. So hopefully we can pull another victory out like we did last year.
Yeah, the 2-1 win last year at the Sanchez-Pizjuan, and it could be a very similar game this year. Barcelona not in very good form at the moment, and if Atleti do beat Sociedad on Saturday, then it could see Atleti and Barcelona switch places, and Atleti move back into the top three with Real Madrid and Sevilla, assuming Sevilla win. I think that's going to be an excellent game. And that's Sunday, correct?
That's a Sunday, 2:45 Eastern time kickoff.
Yeah, that's the Sunday evening game.
Yep.
Should be a great one. Care to offer a scoreline prediction?
I'll go with the same 2-1 victory. I think that's what we'll see, is a 2-1 victory. Goals by, we'll say Vieto's going to get one, and Vitolo, I think, will get on the board. He's had a little run of non-scoring lately. I think he'll get back on the board.
All right. Yeah, I usually don't predict the scores, but more credit to you for doing that. Yeah, a little confident there. I like it. I like the confidence.
Yeah, see.
Yeah, it would be. Vieto is up to 4 goals in the league, which is, he had 1 last year. So nowhere to go for him but up from there, and see if he does it at the weekend. Also interesting is that Barcelona were pretty close to getting Vieto this summer before he turned down the move. He would have been the fourth striker that they were coveting, and eventually that role was filled by Paco Alcácer, of course.
Yeah. Quick question before we get off. Sure. Just curious to see what your thoughts are on Kevin Gamero this year. You know, what's he provided for your team? You know, being a Sevilla fan, he's a legend in Sevilla, and got kind of a rude welcoming back 2 weeks ago. But what are your thoughts on Kevin? How's he doing up there?
He's doing well. He's doing well. He's got 5 league goals, 3 assists as well. He's offered something that Atletico did not have last season. It's been the season before as well. He's offered them a very pacey, dynamic kind of forward, and a great finisher as well. He has great chemistry with Griezmann. They're both French. They both play for the national team. They are already developing great chemistry, and along with Carrasco, that trident is starting to. Well, we're in the process of giving them a nickname, so that's how well that's going. But Gamero, as I've enjoyed him. He's come off the bench in the Champions League as kind of a late game speedster, and an outlet to kind of push forward when Atletico need to run out a game or get a goal. But I've enjoyed seeing him put his speed and his dynamism into action, because those were two qualities that Atletico sorely lacked and were hoping to get with Diego Costa. Of course, that didn't work. So Gamero became the top option when the Costa return plans were scuttled. But no, I've really enjoyed him, and he did get kind of the rude welcome back. Looked really up for that game, actually. Thought he if he'd stayed in, he might have had a chance to score. He looked very, very up for that one.
Yeah, I thought he was your best player that day while he was on the pitch, and almost scored. Had a chance there when he hit the side netting, and I thought he had a really good run there.
Another thing that I really like about him is his movement is great. He's able to find space in the box. He just is always around the box, and he can also start play from midfield if he needs to. He did that a lot with Sevilla. And he can play a little deeper and bring things up in the counterattack if he has to. So that's been great to see his movement and his chemistry with Griezmann developed much quicker than any chemistry with Jackson or Vieto or Raul Jimenez, if we're going way back. But Gamero's been great. It's been good to see a capable striker help take the burden off Antoine Griezmann. Now, a question for you on Gamero's, I guess his legacy in Sevilla, because this is something we were talking about a couple Colchonero chats ago. How is he viewed, do you think? Is he, because he was on 3 Europa League winners, is he going to go down as one of those legends? Will he always be remembered for his contributions to those sides? Or is it now going to be, you know, he left for Atletico Madrid, he left for kind of a competitive rival, and is that forever going to taint his legacy, I guess? What are your thoughts on his legacy in Sevilla?
That's a tough one. I think right now there's definitely some mixed emotions, sure. Some hatred towards the way he left. And he left pretty late in the transfer window this summer. I actually saw him in June in Orlando. So I think the hurt right now is great, but you know, we all remember what he did for Sevilla, and a few years from now, I think he'll be welcomed back at the RSP when he's retired, and they'll welcome him back with open arms. Is he going to get a statue anytime soon? I don't think so, but just a gritty player, and it was so important in those Europa League wins, especially last season. Just a really, really gritty performer. Pulled a hamstring there towards the end of the game and just kept working. Unbelievable player. And, you know, me personally, I still like him. I hope he does well, except for when he plays against us.
That's natural. And,
yep.
And, yeah, that does make sense that he would have kind of a complicated legacy at the moment. But guy works hard. He's tough. And so far, he's been excellent. And I think a lot of us at the blog and a lot of our followers hope it continues. Well, that just about does it for us on this edition of Colchonero Chat. You can follow me on Twitter at JB Barron. Follow the blog at Into the Calderon. Like us on Facebook. You can follow Chris on Twitter at, what's your handle there, Chris?
It's Chris Lell. That's pretty simple. Chris Lell.
There you go.
And Monty's Men, it's at Monty's Men.
Yeah, great blog. Make sure you read it. It's really high quality Sevilla stuff. Highly recommended. All right, that'll do it for us. Thanks so much for listening. We will catch you next time.